Well, we're completing our series today on using spiritual gifts every day. So we've had healing, we've had hospitality. If you're around last week, it's a really great time. Laura, our area leader, came, and we had a great time. She talked about prophecy, and we got like really practical. So that was really good. So we want to increase the amount that we see God moving, both here on a Sunday morning, and also kind of out wherever we are in our communities, in our day-to-day life, whether we go to work, in our families, in our communities, at school, colleges, wherever we might be. And my ambition is to build a church where Sunday is a real highlight. And it's exciting because we don't know exactly what God will do. Okay, so imagine coming here and just thinking, wow, you know, last week we saw somebody miraculously healed or somebody miraculously set free. You know, it'd just be amazing. Like, you know, imagine reading the stuff in the Bible and imagine that happening on a Sunday morning. I believe that's God's call to us. Okay, that's not pie in the sky. That's actually what a functioning church should look like. And it's something that we need to kind of grow and practice into. But when we kind of get to that place, it's like, wow. What is God going to do this weekend? It'd be amazing. And then what will God do throughout my whole week? Okay? And so one of the components of us getting there is each of us finding our place in what God has for us in the church family. So this is really short and simple. Setting a stopwatch. Short and simple today because I really love what Laura did last time. And we want to kind of shush up the way we kind of have that time after the teaching where we respond to God to make it much more of a team game. So Amanda and Danny are going to lead that, but the teaching is going to lead into it as well. So if we're to find our place, then we need to kind of find our gifts and kind of put them into practice. So what does the Bible say about you, your very self? What does God say about you? It says a number of things. It says that you are created uniquely by God. God thinks of you as his masterpiece. Yeah? Really? He does. Beautiful Greek word, poema, is where we get the word poem, but it's beautiful. It's like craftsmanship, artwork, masterpiece. That's how the Bible actually describes you and me. So you're his masterpiece. How does that feel? And he's like, no, surely not. God has planned specific areas of work in advance for you to do. So everybody has a role to play. And if you're born again by the Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus, then you've been given at least one main spiritual gift. So spiritual gifts are a bit like tools in a toolbox. So, you know, God will give us a gift, a tool that we'll mainly kind of use and we'll be really strong at. So for example, like woodwork or carpentry or things like that. I did it at school. It was a long time ago. Wood had just about been invented by the time I did woodwork at school. Was I great at it? No. I have built like a cupboard for my daughter years ago. And a shed actually, yeah. It took three of us to lift the roof onto the shed. So it wasn't exactly plain sailing, but I can do it. Now, if Big Pete was here, who's been a carpenter all his life, could I do things that Big Pete could do? No, because he is a craftsman. My late dad was a jeweler. He used to make brilliant things like out of metal and beautiful rings and brooches and things like that. I just broke saw blades whenever I tried to cut anything. So can I do a bit of this? Yes, I can. Am I a craftsman? No. But craftspeople just do this naturally. So for a craftsperson, their gift, their tool out of the toolbox is craftsmanship. That doesn't mean that I can't have a go from time to time. So the spiritual gifts are like that for all of us. You might think, I'm not really a prophetic type of person. That doesn't mean that you can't hear from God and share a word. Now, if you're a prophet who's like leading into this, you're probably going to hear a bit clearer and do more of it. But that just means it's your main spiritual gift, okay? So this is each about us finding our own gifts. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to particularly encourage those of us who don't feel like a particularly spiritual person. So if you think, well, I'm not very spiritual, Glenn, then this talk is exactly for you. Because not everyone's got a big mouth and stands at the front and yaks at people. So this is an encouragement. If you don't feel that you're a particularly spiritual person, this talk is for you. And Some spiritual gifts don't get the same limelight as kind of prophecy or healing or miracles. They don't go up in lights. But what I want to show today is they're equally important, they're equally necessary. And actually, it's just a big celebration, a shout out. If actually you've got those gifts, but you don't actually like being in the limelight, just to encourage you that that is just as spiritual as the other ones, and it's equally as important. Okay? So I've called my talk today, "You are spiritually gifted, yes you." Every one of us here who knows Jesus is spiritually gifted. So if you've got a Bible, if you want to talk, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And going to read first from the NIV. This is 12:27-28. "Now you are the body of Christ, all of you, and each one is a part of it. And God placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues." And that of healing, of helping, of guidance, helping and guidance, they're kind of really interesting kind of words in the original language that it was written in. And I really like what the New American Standard Bible says, so it's a different translation. They translate that as helps, administrations. So God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. So let's look at the gift of helps. What does that even mean? So, could this be you? Do you prefer to serve behind the scenes rather than be up front? So coming up here would absolutely kind of mortify you, but give you a job to do behind the scenes, you absolutely love it. Can you spot the practical jobs that no one else sees and actually enjoy doing them? Do you find spiritual meaning in serving and freeing others to do what God has called them to do? Can you see kingdom value in things like setting up chairs, making drinks, and preparing meals? So does that resonate with anyone? Have we got any behind the scenes people? Yes. There's a number of people behind the scenes. You are just as spiritual as like Laura doing prophecy. That's what the Bible says. Paul lists all these out and he says, you know, apostles, prophets, teachers, and then those who help, those with gifts of administration. Everyone has a part to play and they're equally spiritual. And so the gift of helps is the divine enablement to accomplish practical and necessary tasks which free up support and meet the needs of others. So people with this gift tend to be available, they tend to be willing, they tend to just kind of get stuck in. They're loyal and they have a kind of whatever it takes attitude. Does that ring a bell in any of us? So, okay, so far so good. Helps, people doing jobs, helping out. I know what you're thinking. How on earth is that spiritual? Because you don't really yet believe that it's spiritual, do you? Okay. How is this spiritual? So let's think about this gift in the context of Freedom Vineyard, okay? So, you guys keep coming back on a Sunday. I'm guessing that's because at least it's bearable. If not, you like it. And actually, if you find some encouragement and it encourages you in your walk with God, hopefully, our heart is that you meet God here and you're encouraged and God really kind of meets with you and does business with you and you find friendship and family amongst us. Okay. So you've probably had a drink. You've come in. You've had somewhere to sit. There's like information. There's flyers out on the seats. All of this has been provided by people who get here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Our setup team get here at 9 o'clock in the morning to set all these things up. The hospitality team get here around about 9:30. The welcome team here at 10. Just so that anybody comes in, guests, you know, normal, you know, usual family members, you come in and all this works and you just come in and it just creates this atmosphere, this place where there's no distraction, you can meet with God. So people meet with God because somebody got here early and set up the chairs and did drinks and bought, you know, biscuits and snacks and fruit and things. So all these things, although they kind of seem invisible, and that's what they kind of are, they actually contribute to this us having time together on a Sunday morning where we can encourage each other. So the big secret is there are no leprechauns or fairies at Freedom Vineyard. This is actually, they're not. Actually done by people who use their gift of helps to make sure that everybody can be encouraged. And it directly creates this environment where we can meet with God. Isn't that amazing? I love this story from St. Peter's, Brighton. This is a Holy Trinity Brompton church plant, the guys who did Alpha. A man came into church early on Sunday morning, hoping to find help for his addiction. So get this, only the setup team were present. Because like staff and pastors and things like that, they're not going to rock up until probably about 10:30. But the poor old setup team were there, and they were working away. One of the volunteers felt led to talk with him, engage him, and they had a really good chat, and the team gathered around and just like offered to pray for him, and they prayed with him. They didn't wait for the pastors. Hooray! They got alongside him. They offered practical help. They prayed, and they connected him with the church's recovery group. Okay? Wind the clock forward. The man eventually joined Alpha. He was baptized, and he now serves on that same team. Isn't that wonderful? So practical people said, look, I know somewhere where you can get help. Just connected him with someone who could give him help from addiction. And it's just wonderful. And like, there was not a single pastor involved in this whole thing. It was just like normal everyday people, you know. Pastors are normal everyday people too, by the way, but you know. But it's great. I love that. So the team worked together to not only bless the church with their practical service, setting up the building for morning worship services, they used their gifts to come alongside someone to help in a really practical way. Now this word in the Greek literally means to kind of stand in the place of someone and bear the weight on your shoulders. It's a really amazing little kind of word. And that's really descriptive, isn't it? If you think like there's a gap and I'm just going to free somebody up because they're maybe not the greatest at it or it shouldn't be what they're doing, then you're doing something that's really spiritual, really amazing. And God values it. God sees it and says, yes, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? So if you have the gift of helps, you can play a vital role in ensuring that necessary jobs get done. And that ministry can not only function, but it actually grows. And we see this in Acts. In the early church, there was like food distribution because there wasn't any kind of social services. And the church was social services. And the church exploded. It got really big. There's all these logistical problems. And the apostles, the leaders said, well, look, we still need to pray. We need to like teach the word of God, teach the scriptures. So what they did, they delegated to people who could organize and sort out this food distribution amongst the widows. Because if not, they would have starved. So people came in so the leaders could lead and the servers could serve. And they were each doing their bit and it clicked together. So ministry not only functions, but it grows. So it's really, really important because you can help churches grow by doing normal things. Okay? So that's the first one. Second one I want to look at today is that gift of administration. So if you think, well, I'm not sure if I'm a gift of helps person, but I'm a behind the scenes person, then administration, could this be you? So you find organizing things is easy and it comes naturally to you. You can handle lots of detail and it doesn't bog you down. You can create processes and structures for getting things done reliably and efficiently. You can easily see where processes and people are not working well and you have a good idea of how to fix it. It's not Amanda. It's fine, we've all got different gifts. But hopefully some of you in this room, you work in the marketplace and you have positions of leadership or organizational leadership. You're kind of helping things run. I'm looking at devs wide-eyed. But you make things run smoother than they otherwise would with all the chaos. You bring order out of chaos, okay? They tend to be goal-oriented. So you focus on the outcomes and the results. You're highly organized. In fact, you enjoy creating order out of chaos. I think of like bookkeepers when like people who run small businesses just give them like a bag full of receipts and they turn that into a lovely kind of expenses claim and it all goes on the VAT and things like that, and Alison is nodding. So you get all this chaos and you turn it into a beautiful process. You're conscientious, you're careful, thorough, and you include the detail. So administration is the divine enablement to understand how organizations function, to plan and execute procedures that accomplish the goals of the group or body. So if I asked you, what's the largest and best known hamburger chain worldwide, what would you say?
Burger King.
No. McDonald's. Yeah. There's always one controversial one. Yeah, McDonald's. McDonald's is the largest burger chain that's by turnover, by revenue, in the world. And the reason that it is a guy called Ray Kroc. So Ray Kroc was a guy who went around selling like milkshake machines. Don't know if anyone's seen like The Founder on Netflix, but he basically sold milkshake machines to kind of restaurants and like cafes and diners and things like that in America in the 50s. And he saw the McDonald's Brothers restaurant. They had a small series of restaurants where they had like a production line where they created their burgers and they were like really kind of exact. And he got to know them through selling the milkshake machines, and he saw an opportunity. And so what he did is he said, look, let me turn this into a franchise model for you. And they kind of went into like business together. So Ray Kroc developed a franchise model where he could kind of look at their whole processes and basically turn it into like this whole manual, a whole way of doing business. And so when he opened his first franchise store in 1955, the turnover of McDonald's was about $2.5 million, $2.25 million. He transformed it by the time of his death in 1984 to a global enterprise turning over $8 billion. So $2.5 million to $8 billion worldwide. It's amazing. Ray Kroc had the vision and gifting to standardize and systematize everything. Each hamburger was prepared to 7.1 millimeters thick. You could get 10 of them for a pound of mince. He had the exact temperatures, cooking times, exact recipes that mean if you order a Big Mac in Texas or Tokyo, it will be exactly the same. It's the world's standard, most standardized food. He had a mantra of QSC&V, quality, service, cleanliness, and value, that was drilled into every crew member, every employee of McDonald's. There are 7 McDonald's universities globally, churning out thousands of leaders every year. 40% of McDonald's senior leadership have gone through McDonald's University or come directly through McDonald's University. Every action needed to run a restaurant was written in a McDonald's training and operations manual, which is called lovingly the Bible of McDonald's. So this guy, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, but he had this immense ability to organize and orchestrate and not just kind of do things, but actually set up systems that allowed people to do things reliably. So it didn't rely on him. He could scale this out so anybody could do it. We actually used some of these principles when I set up a contact center. So we basically gave systems that took people who were average and tried to make them extraordinary. So we kind of gave them every tool and every help they would need and trained them in how to run those tools. So people with the gift of administration are a blessing to any kind of organization, be it tiny or be it a global enterprise. You are a really big blessing to them. But not just McDonald's, I can think of lots of other administrators. So home ed folks, how much administration, organization, how much organization are you doing right now for September? Lots, too much. But you look at the scheme of works and you work out how do I plan and how do I work out how to deliver that to our kids. Think about DTI. So we're going to go to DTI, Dreaming the Impossible Youth Festival, in 2 weeks' time. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. But you think about the size of that. There's over 4,000 young people on site. There were over about 4,200 last year. It'll probably be about 4,800 or 4,800 this year. It's massive. But you think about the communications, the organization, the campsite, all the facilities. They've got entertainment team, they've got catering, they've got security, safeguarding, they've got sound and lighting, they've got communications, they've got cleaning, medical, media, and operations teams. There's liaison with the local showground that they rent. They have to liaise with local authority agencies, the police, and the NHS for an event of that size. So we just rock up and set up the tents, but just think about the amount of organization that has gone into preparing for it and into executing it. There's stuff on from like 7 in the morning to like midnight. I do help set the tents up, so I feel okay to say that. What about this guy, Andy Hawthorne? So some of us of a certain vintage will remember the Worldwide Message Tribe. I was a youth worker when these guys kind of were big. So Andy Hawthorne founded the Message Trust in 1992 in Manchester, seeking to reach underprivileged young people in deprived areas of Manchester, like Moss Side and places like that. He designed scalable ministry hubs, structured social enterprises, and rolled out partnerships with local churches and schools, backed by disciplined logistics and volunteer administration. And he got an OBE for his services to charity. But he didn't just like lead a ministry, he actually enabled a whole kind of bunch of ministries with partner churches and partner organisations all over Manchester to revolutionise and transform people's lives. So he transformed a small youth mission into a national charity employing thousands of people, recognised in 2018 in the Sunday Times Best Not to Profit for Work For. So he got the Best Charity to Work For in the UK award in 2018, which is no small thing. Okay, so that's the gift of helps and the gift of administration, and I'm going to keep it short. So they're the main ones I want to talk about. I could talk about Romans 12:8. So Paul says that if your gift is to encourage, then give encouragement. How great a gift is that, just to get alongside? You look at the news, it's constant negativity, and to be somebody who encourages people, God says that's a spiritual gift that he can divinely empower. Or what about giving? If your gift is giving, then Paul says give generously. So kingdom impact requires resources. Some people have the gift of creating wealth, pegging back their lifestyle so they can give more to the kingdom. So there's lots of people who kind of do that. And they don't shout up, they don't get up front about it, but they're just quietly resourcing the growing businesses, they're investing into the kingdom. Or craftsmanship. Exodus 31 says that the Lord says to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, and to engage in all kinds of crafts." So there's Bezalel, there's another guy that's called, but then actually Scripture says that there's a whole team of people that the Holy Spirit empowered, and they work together and help Moses create an elaborate space for worship called the tabernacle, that kind of pointed back to kind of the garden in Genesis, and it's just amazing, like loads of ornaments and, you know, big altars for doing worship as well, and it was kind of made of gold and expensive, you know, materials and woodwork. So these guys use their craftsmanship gifts to create a space to worship the Lord. I also know that there's people who bake cakes just to bless people. I know people in our church who sort of say they see somebody's down, they say, "I'm going to create a lovely cake, and I'm going to bake for that." So coming into land, each and every one of us has a place to serve, both in this church and outside in our community. Every single one of us, okay? God has designed you and planned in good works in advance for you to do. And get this, they fit well because God creates you a certain way. He knows about you. He knit you together. And then he plans the work that fits in with your personality. So I'm not saying it's always easy and it feels natural at first, but it should generally be something that fits well with you and is encouraging to you, that gives life to you. That's the model of doing ministry. So it should fit you well, because God's not going to create you one way and then give you a job in the opposite vein. So if you're a desperately shy person, he's not going to call you to be a teacher up front in front of loads of people, unless he does a miracle. But, you know, God gives us jobs that are in line with the way that he's created us. Our church family functions best when we work as a team. And in Vineyard, we say that everyone gets to play, okay? So the question just to land on before we go back into worship and just do a bit of ministry as well. Do you undervalue both yourself and your gifting? Do you say, "God couldn't use me because I'm not a person who could be up front with a loud mouth, or I'm not a worship leader, or I'm not like Laura who can give out loads of words yet?" So don't partner with a lie that you're not important to the kingdom and you have no real place because you're not an upfront person, or you're not a kind of showy-offy person. These gifts are ranked alongside all the others, and they are essential to the kingdom of God. So it's an encouragement and a kind of invitation to say, use your gifts and value them, because God sees them and he loves them. Okay? And the question is, what is God inviting you into right now?